Welcome into the Heat Check Sim Show with your host, The Real Sim Shady. Today we have the Season 5 March Madness Bracket Reveal. And yeah, this is going to be a fun episode. There's currently, I believe, five teams in the March or in the top 25 heading into conference tournament play. I've received the conference tournament results and the bracket, so I'm going to release all that and, you know, kind of break it down. But, you know, just in terms of the agenda for today, I'm going to be recording this by myself. I mentioned that on Discord. I've just got a busy schedule coming up, so it's easier to just knock this one out by myself. So, you know, we'll still have all the same analysis and everything. You know, South Dakota State's head coach, Matt Evans, was kind enough to provide me his post-conference tournament bracketology. And so I'm going to incorporate all of that as well as his Final Four and champion predictions along with mine after the bracket reveal. But for as far as the agenda goes, I'm going to start out with, you know, that bracketology, which is post conference tournaments, like I said, and then I'm going to reveal the one seeds, and then I'm going to reveal the bracket matchup by matchup. Then I'm going to go through the normal conference breakdown and then the region breakdown. And then I'm going to close with my Final Four and champion predictions, as well as, like I said, Matt Evans, his predictions as well. So this is going to be a full episode, fun episode. I'm glad we were able to make this happen. Thanks to Eli for, you know, helping get this put together by sending over the bracket a little early and everything, and the conference tournament results. You know, happy to be able to do this and to get it sent out and give you guys a little something to look forward to. So without further ado, let's get it rolling with some bracketology. So basically going based on the conference tournament results, what I want to do here is I'm not going to go in depth on all the conference tournament results, but what I do want to do is just point out a few conferences where there were some results that could have affected teams that were on the bubble. So as it relates to those conferences, we have you know, teams that won their conference tournaments. So these teams are no longer on the bubble. They have locked in their bid. I want to kind of let you breathe easy as we go into the bracket reveal, and then I'll lay out the bubble and everything. But for the teams that maybe were on the bubble heading into conference tournaments, but they were able to win their conference tournaments, we have Western Michigan. Western Michigan won their conference tournament previous to the most recent bracketology pre-conference tournament had them as a last four bye. So they are locked in. They don't have to sweat anymore. Same goes for Detroit. They were classified as a last four in. They don't need to sweat anymore as they won their conference tournament. Illinois State won the Missouri Valley Conference tournament. They were also a last four in. They don't need to sweat this one out. They are in the tournament. And same goes for Texas. They were classified as a first four out. They won the Big 12 championship, sorry. So they are in, and they do not need to sweat through this episode. And then a couple other, you know, teams that weren't even on the bubble, but they won their conference tournament. So it might hurt, you know, other bubble teams' chances of getting in. So a couple notable ones here from the Ohio Valley, Morehead State won the championship in the conference tournament. And so I know Southeast Missouri State is one team that's on the bubble. They were on the bubble prior to their conference tournament, and they're still on the bubble. Morehead State was able to win their conference tournament with a strength of roster of 112. So they are in. OVC is hoping to get two bids. And then same goes for Vermont out of the America East. Vermont with a strength of roster of 121 was able to win their conference tournament. So they are also in. And you know, another team from that conference that's on the bubble is Stony Brook. So that's another team. They were hoping to win their conference tournament to just get in automatically, but they're going to have to sweat this one out. You know, that's just the way, you know, those conference tournaments that have such an impact on the bracket itself. So there you go. There's six teams there that I've locked in for you. They don't need to sweat it out. And now I'm going to go through the teams that Matt Evans has for his you know, one through four seeds quickly, and then I'll list the bubble teams as well heading into this. So Matt Evans, his one seeds that he has for heading or post conference tournament. So this is real. What's coming up before the bracket? His bracketology says the one seeds are Michigan State, North Carolina, Butler, and Arizona. His two seeds are Wright State, Kansas State, Utah, and Michigan. His three seeds are South Carolina, Washington, Rutgers, and Louisville. And his four seeds are Duke, St. Joseph's, Kentucky, and Mississippi. And then as for his bubble teams, his last four byes are Miami of Ohio, VMI, Boise State, and Wofford. His last four in are Penn State, Kent State, Cincinnati, and Southeast Missouri State being the last one in. So again, they're squarely on the bubble. Morehead State won the OVC, as I mentioned, so that hurts their chances a little bit, but they're still last four in post that conference tournament result. First four out are Iowa, Indiana, Virginia Tech, and Georgia. And then the next four out are SMU, Missouri, Maryland, and Loyola Marymount. And some other teams that are, you know, on the bubble, but it's going to be a little bit more of a long shot. You've got Florida State, Notre Dame, Bowling Green, Oklahoma, Miami, Florida, Rhode Island, Missouri State, Portland, Holy Cross, Stony Brook, Furman, St. Bonaventure, Southern Miss, Dayton, San Diego State, Stanford, Tennessee Tech, Ohio State, Providence, and Marquette. Those teams are all, you know, following the next four out. So they're a little bit further down on the list, but they're still on the bubble. They're still, you know, they've got their fingers crossed. They're hoping they get in this tournament. And if they don't, they'll likely be in the NIT. So that's kind of your bracketology, courtesy of Matt Evans, the South Dakota State head coach. Thanks, as always, to Matt for, you know, preparing that, getting that sent over. He does such a good job with his, you know, growth file that he always has on Discord. If you haven't seen that, check that out. He's got a ton of great information there. But thanks again to Matt for getting this sent over to me in such a quick, timely manner. I'm happy to be able to use this, provide a little bit of context going into the bracket itself. So now that we've done that, let's move into the one seeds and a little bit of information about all of them. We have to start off with the number one overall seed out of the Midwest region is Michigan State. They finished the season with a record of 27-4. They have an overall rating of 15.39, strength of roster of 3. Obviously, out of the Big Ten, they earned an auto bid. They won their conference tournament by beating Penn State, Indiana, and Purdue. They dominated all three of those games, winning by 16 or more in each of them. And then just a couple, you know, key wins this year. They beat UConn, who was number 8 at the time. They beat number 20 Penn State on the road, 22 Wisconsin, 15 Minnesota, and number 6 Rutgers. Those were all the rankings at the times of the matchups. And then the key losses, or not key, all of their losses they had. They lost to Arizona, who was 15th at the time, Michigan, Ohio State, and Rhode Island. Their roster makeup, they have 2 seniors, 3 juniors, 1 sophomore, and 2 freshmen. And then their 2 main key contributors, they have a small forward, Mike Edwards, who's a senior, and he's a 17.9 overall. And then they have a shooting guard, Dennis McQuarters, who's a junior, also 17.9 overall. So good mix of experience and youth there. And then at the top, like I said, they've got some experience leading the way with 2 17.9 overalls. The second overall seed, so the second number one seed, goes to North Carolina out of the South region. North Carolina had a great team last year, fell short of expectations. They were preseason number 1 last year. They fell to preseason number 4 this year. So that's what their strength of roster is. But they earned the second number one seed with a record of 26-5 out of the ACC. They also earned a auto bid. They beat Miami, Pittsburgh, and Louisville in the ACC tournament. Their overall rating is 15.25. Some key wins they had on their resume. They beat 13th ranked St. Joe's, number 2 South Carolina ranking at the time, number 14 Duke, 23 ranked Pittsburgh twice, and number 22 Louisville. And then all of their losses, they lost to number 5 Washington, Missouri State, Creighton, Clemson, and number 2 Louisville. Their roster makeup, they have a senior, 3 juniors, 1 sophomore, and 3 freshmen. And actually, this is the least experienced of the one seeds. I haven't revealed those last two yet, but this is the most or the least experienced roster of the four. And their key contributors, they have a shooting guard, Eric Cartwright, who's a junior, and his overall is 17.3. And then they have a point guard, Sean Wright, who's a senior, His overall 16.6. Moving on to the third one seed, it is Arizona out of the West region. Their overall rating is 17.0, the best team in sim history. So they had a preseason. They were the preseason number one team in the country. That's their strength of roster. They're out of the Pac-12 conference. They earned an at-large bid. They lost to Washington in the championship of the Pac-12 tournament by 1 point after beating USC and UCLA. This season, they were able to win at number one Michigan State. They destroyed number four Oregon. They beat number two Utah. They beat 15 UCLA, 19 Cal, and 12 Washington. And then their losses are to 21-ranked Ole Miss, and then Minnesota, Oregon, and Washington. This team, the roster makeup, they've got three seniors, three juniors, one sophomore, and one freshman. And their main two key contributors are center Rocco Hancock, who's a junior, and point guard Derek Kramer-Sanders, who's a senior. Rocco Hancock's overall is 19, and the point guard Derek Kramer-Sanders is 18.6. They have five players better than 18.2, which means their fifth best player is better than any player that Michigan State or North Carolina has. So this Arizona team is absolutely loaded. They're a one seed to absolutely watch out for. Very fun team. They're going to be a force to be reckoned with in this tournament. And finally, the fourth one seed goes to the Butler Bulldogs out of the East region. They have an overall rating of 14.75. They have had a strength of roster of 11. They're out of the Big East, and they also earned an at-large bid. They lost to Villanova in the championship of the Big East after they beat St. John's and Seton Hall to get there. Their best wins this year, they beat Seton Hall three times, actually, and then they beat Pittsburgh, who was ranked 23rd at the time. And then their losses, they lost to SMU, they lost to Gonzaga, they lost to Utah, and they lost to Villanova twice. Their key contributors are shooting guard Costa Curran, who's a senior, with 19.3 overall, and point guard Derek Lamb, who's a senior, 17.9 overall. This team, similar to Arizona, has three seniors, three juniors, one sophomore, one freshman. Those two teams, Arizona and Butler, are the most experienced one seeds, so we'll see how that kind of factors into their success in this tournament. A lot of point guards, three of those one seeds had a point guard as one of their main two key contributors. So a lot of backcourt experience from this group, and that can also be a huge factor, it seems, in tournament play. So, that's your one seed breakdown. So let's move into the actual bracket reveal, and then like usual, as we go through this, I will reveal each region matchup by matchup, and then I'll kind of go back and look at the region briefly, see if there's any key matchups that I liked or anything like that, and then. Once we go through all of them, we'll go back into deeper region breakdown afterwards. But so to get started, we're going to start with the Midwest region with your overall one seed being Michigan State. They will face the winner of Vermont versus Cal Baptist, the 16 matchup. Both of those were auto bids, Vermont out of the American East, Cal Baptist out of the WAC. Going down to the next matchup, we have the 8 seed UC Davis, the auto bid out of the Big West, and they will face off against Eastern Michigan, who earned an at-large bid out of the MAC. Moving down the bracket, we've got number 5 seeded St. Joseph's earning an at-large bid out of the Atlantic 10, and they will face the winner of the 12 seed matchup between Stony Brook and Southeast Missouri State. So those are two bubble teams that get to hear their names called early in the bracket, which is a huge relief to them, I'm sure. So definitely exciting for those two teams to hear their names this early in the bracket reveal. So moving down the bracket, we've got number 4 seed Texas A&M. They earned an at-large bid out of the SEC. They will take on 13 seed Detroit. Like we mentioned, they won the Horizon Tournament. They earned the auto bid there. Moving down the bracket, we've got 6-seeded Creighton out of the Big East earning an at-large bid. They will face Illinois State, who earned the auto bid from the Missouri Valley Conference. Moving on down, we've got 3-seeded Louisville out of the ACC at-large bid. They will take on the automatic bid earner from the American 14-seeded Temple. Moving down the bracket, we've got number 7-seeded UNC Greensboro. They earned the auto bid out of the SoCon, and they will take on the 10-seed West Virginia, an at-large bid from the Big 12. And finally, 2-seeded Utah from the Pac-12, an at-large bid, will take on the Big South's automatic qualifier, number 15-seed Winthrop. So this is a great first region. Like I said, a couple bubble teams coming off the board early. So if you're on the bubble, you're sweating a little bit more now, as we heard two of those teams come off early. But some fun matchups, you know, the 8-9 matchup between UC Davis and Eastern Michigan is always fun. UC Davis has a strength of roster of 57 and Eastern Michigan's is 60. So it's about as even as you can get. It'll be really fun to see how that plays out. The play-in game, the first four game between Southeast Missouri State and Stony Brook, those two teams are bubble teams, obviously. SEMO has a strength of roster of 81 and Stony Brook's is at 103. So, yeah, both of those teams did enough in their non-conference to earn the at-large bid, and they're going to have to, duke it out for the right to play St. Joe's as a 5-seed, who is 13th in the country in strength of roster. So very tough matchup after you get out of that play-in game, but it'll be, either of those teams would love that opportunity, so it'll be fun to see who earns it. The 4-13 matchup, Texas A&M has a strength of roster of 9, Detroit's 62. That should be a good matchup. Texas A&M really, really strong for a 4-seed, so a little bit unfortunate for Detroit there. Texas A&M was in a tough conference. The SEC was tough this year, and they didn't have a great season, but, earning that 4-seed, a little bit disappointing from their perspective, but they get a good matchup in the first round. But that second-round matchup potentially with St. Joe's could be pretty incredible. Creighton is the 6-seed. They have a strength roster of 12, so that's incredibly high for a 6-seed. Second-round matchup would potentially be with Louisville, who's 10th in strength of roster, so that would be a really even matchup as well in the second round. But Louisville's matchup in the first round is with 14-seed Temple, who has a strength of roster of 48, which is just extremely high for a 14-seed. So Louisville wasn't done any favors in terms of their their place in the bracket, other than the fact that they do get to play in Louisville, Kentucky for the first two games. So they get a really tough matchup with Temple, and then if they win, potentially a really tough even matchup with 6-seeded Creighton. Creighton still has to get through Illinois State, who's always tough. They have plenty of experience in March Madness as well, but that's a tough matchup for Illinois State. I would take Creighton, and then Creighton Louisville would be one to really look forward to in the second round. So that kind of touches on some of the key fun matchups from the Midwest region. And so the next we will move to the East region. So moving to the East region, again, the 1-seed in the East region is your Butler Bulldogs from the Big East Conference, and they will face the automatic qualifier from the Atlantic Sun Conference, which this year is Florida Gulf Coast. Liberty was the regular season champion. They were banned from the postseason play this year. So every Atlantic Sun team was able to make the conference tournament aside from Liberty. And Florida Gulf Coast ultimately was able to win that tournament. So they will get the honor of facing Butler, the 1-seed in the first round. Moving down the bracket, we've got 8-seed Oregon out of the Pac-12 conference. As an at-large bid, they will take on the automatic qualifier from the MAC, Western Michigan. Moving down the bracket, we've got number 5-seeded Duke out of the ACC, an at-large bid, and they will face another at-large bid, this one out of the SoCon, number 12-seeded VMI. Moving down the bracket, we've got number 4-seeded UConn out of the American. They earned an at-large bid. And then they will face off against Texas, who earned the automatic bid, winning their conference tournament in the Big 12. In the lower half of the bracket, we've got 6-seeded Gonzaga from the WCC. They were the automatic qualifier. They will face on 11-seeded St. Louis, an at-large bid out of the Atlantic 10. Moving down the bracket, we've got three-seeded Michigan out of the Big Ten. They are in an at-large bid. They will take on 14-seeded James Madison from the Colonial. They earned the automatic bid. Moving down the bracket, we've got 7-seeded UCLA, an at-large bid from the Pac-12, taking on number 10-seeded Valparaiso, an at-large bid from the Missouri Valley Conference. And finally, we've got 2-seeded South Carolina, the automatic qualifier from the SEC, taking on 15-seeded Princeton, the automatic qualifier from the Ivy League. So this is a fun region as well. Quickly, some of the interesting matchups. Again, the 8-9 matchup is always even and always fun to watch. This year, or this region's, is Oregon versus Western Michigan. And Oregon is 38th in strength of roster, where Western Michigan's 43rd. So again, another really even matchup there. Another matchup I'm really looking forward to is Connecticut versus Texas in the first round, the 4-13 matchup. Connecticut has a strength of roster of 8, which is just incredible that they earned only a 4 seed, especially considering that the 1 seed in this region is actually Butler having a strength of roster of 11. And so looking at the whole region, actually, UConn has the highest strength of roster in the region. But they got a fairly tough matchup in the first round with Texas, whose roster strength is 56th. And then they potentially, if they beat Texas, they would potentially have to face Duke in the second round, whose roster strength was 16th. So not an easy bracket from their perspective. But it's just interesting that the 4 seed is actually the strongest roster in this whole region. You've got Butler had the 11th strength. Or 11th strongest roster. South Carolina, the 2 seed, had 14th. Michigan, the 3 seed, had 18th. So not a lot of strength at the top, but it's relatively even. I think there's, four, maybe even 5 or 6 teams that have a chance to get out of this region. So it'll be really fun to see how this one unfolds. There could be quite a few upsets. I'm also looking forward to this 6-11 matchup, Gonzaga versus St. Louis. Gonzaga, that 24 strength of roster, St. Louis with 46. So tough matchup in the first round for Gonzaga. And then also the 7-10 matchup, UCLA versus Valparaiso, 34 versus 41 in strength of roster. That's a really good matchup as well. So that kind of covers it for the East region. I know there are a bunch of teams on the bubble that are still sweating this out. So let's move on to the South region. Again, the 1 seed from the South region are your North Carolina Tar Heels out of the ACC, the automatic qualifier. And they will take on the winner of the 16 versus 16 matchup in the first 4, Louisiana Monroe, the automatic qualifier from the Sun Belt, versus Idaho, the automatic qualifier from the Big Sky. Moving down the bracket, the 8 seed is Lafayette out of the Patriot. They earn the automatic bid, and they will take on number 9-seeded Purdue from the Big Ten, who earned an at-large bid. Moving down the bracket, we've got 5-seeded Kentucky out of the SEC with an at-large bid. They will take on the winner of the first 4 matchup between 12-seeds Kent State from the MAC and Cincinnati from the American. Moving on down, we've got the 4-seed is Monmouth out of the MAAC. They earned an auto bid. And there was a lot of discussion on Discord about what bracket seed they would get in the bracket. And their coach felt he was getting a little getting lower seeded than he felt he should. And he earned a 4 seed. I think he should be pretty happy with that. It's a very strong seed. A lot of respect given to Monmouth this year. And then they will take on 13-seeded South Dakota, the automatic bid from the Summit League. Moving down to the second, or the lower half of the South region, we have the 6-seed Seton Hall, the at-large bid out of the Big East. They will take on 11-seed Wofford out of the SoCon, another at-large bid. Moving down, we have 3-seeded Washington, the automatic qualifier from the Pac-12, taking on the automatic qualifier from the SWAC, 14-seeded Grambling State. Moving down, we have 7-seeded VCU, the automatic qualifier from the Atlantic 10, taking on Boise State, an at-large bid from the Mountain West Conference. And finally, the South region, we conclude it with 2-seeded Kansas State, an at-large bid out of the Big 12, taking on 15-seeded New Orleans, the automatic bid out of the Southland Conference. So that's your South region. Got some more bubble teams coming off. So let's look at this region as a whole. We have a fun matchup in the 8-9. Again, always want to touch on these. Lafayette versus Purdue. Lafayette's 55th in strength of roster. Purdue is 39th. So a tough draw for Lafayette. Purdue always seems to have success in March Madness, but that's a really tough Lafayette team, a lot of experience. So expect them to put up a good fight for the right to most likely play North Carolina in the second round. The first four matchup between Kent State and Cincinnati should be fun. The crazy thing is Cincinnati, they earned the at-large bid. Their strength of roster is 30th in the country, and they earned a 12 seed. So that is a team that five-seeded Kentucky is really rooting for to lose in that first four matchup. Kentucky's strength of roster is 25th. And just for context, Kent State's is 74th, who Cincinnati is playing in that first four matchup. So Kentucky's definitely going to be rooting for Kent State to win that one to have an easier matchup. And then, again, Monmouth with the four seed, they take on South Dakota, a pretty favorable matchup. South Dakota's strength of roster is 110. Moving into the 6-11 matchup, Seton Hall and Wofford, this will be a really fun one, pretty even for a 6-11. Seton Hall's 26th in strength of roster. Wofford is 49th. And then, you know, the 2-15 seed is matchup is a little interesting. Kansas State had the number two strongest roster in the country. They earned a two seed, and New Orleans as a 15 seed, the highest 15 seed so far that we've displayed, who they have strength of roster of 94. So that's pretty high. That's higher than obviously the 13 seed South Dakota's. So it's not an easy matchup for Kansas State. Relatively speaking, of course, obviously Kansas State's a heavy favorite there, but not exactly the most favorable matchup they could have been given. So kind of briefly covers your South region. Let's move to the final quarter of the bracket, the West region. Again, your number one seed from the West region is Arizona, an at-large bid from the Pac-12. Again, that's the toughest roster in Sim history. And they will have the honor will be given to Coppin State out of the MEAC will be given the honor of playing Arizona. You know, Coppin State, tough matchup. They have the 78th strongest roster, so really strong for a 16 seed. But moving down the bracket, we've got 8-seeded UNLV, the automatic qualifier from the Mountain West Conference, taking on 9-seeded Pittsburgh, an at-large bid out of the ACC. Then we have 5-seeded Villanova, the automatic bid from the Big East, taking on 12-seeded California, an at-large bid from the Pac-12. Moving down, we have 4-seeded Rutgers, at-large bid from the Big Ten, taking on 13-seeded Miami of Ohio, and another at-large bid out of the MAC. That's another bubble team coming off the board, as well as California. Moving to the lower half of the West bracket, we have 6-seeded Wisconsin, an at-large bid out of the Big Ten, taking on 11-seeded Georgia Tech, an at-large bid out of the ACC. Another bubble team, really a low seed for Georgia Tech. We'll get into that in a little bit. And then we have 3-seeded Mississippi from the SEC, an at-large bid, taking on the automatic qualifier from the Northeast Conference, Wagner. Moving down the bracket, the 7-seed George Mason, an at-large bid out of the Atlantic 10, taking on the automatic qualifier from the Conference USA, 10-seeded Old Dominion. Finally, the 2-seed in the West region is Wright State, an at-large bid out of the Horizon League, taking on number 15-seed Morehead State, the automatic qualifier from the OVC. And so, again, this was just getting into this region breakdown. This one's really interesting. But, you know, Wright State was another team. There was a lot of discussion about what seed they would get. There was some speculation that, you know, maybe if they run their conference tournament table as well as their entire regular season, maybe they do get a one seed. Ultimately, they lost in their conference tournament. So they did not earn the one seed, but they still get a really favorable seed. They get a 2-seed. They have to be really excited about that. Obviously, this is a super tough region with Arizona leading the way, but with Wright State as the 2 seed. They have to be thrilled, especially with their matchup in the first round, Morehead State. That's a good matchup for Wright State. And then, moving to the second round, they would potentially play George Mason or Old Dominion. That's 37 versus 63 in terms of strength of roster, respectively. So that'll be a fun 7-10 matchup. But, moving back up the bracket in the 1-16 matchup, like I mentioned, it's Arizona, the best team in sim history, versus Coppin State, the best 16 seed this year. So obviously heavy favorite to Arizona, but they were drawn a tough card in the first round, relatively speaking. And then the 8-9 matchup, as always, UNLV versus Pittsburgh, 33 versus 22 in strength of roster. That's a fun one. The 5-12 matchup should be really fun as well. Villanova's 7th in strength of roster, and California's 31st. Again, very even there for a 5-12 matchup at least. And then in the 4-13, you've got Rutgers and Miami of Ohio, 28 versus 53. And then the one that's really surprising is Wisconsin versus Georgia Tech in the 6-11 matchup, 20 versus 27 in strength of roster. So Wisconsin will only be favored in that game by maybe a point or two. And, Georgia Tech, they performed a little lower than expectation this year. They're happy to be in the tournament, but a lower seed than they would have wanted. And Wisconsin cannot be pleased with the draw they got in the first round. It's super tough. But if they do win in advance, Mississippi is the 3 seed that they would likely have to play. And Mississippi's strength of roster is 21. So Wisconsin at 20 is, slightly better there. So their second round matchup is even. First round matchup's pretty even. So, that not the most favorable, but, they have a solid chance to get to the Sweet 16 as a 6 seed, which is really all you can ask for. So that wraps up the bracket. All those bubble teams that were out there, sweating out. Some of you heard your names, some of you didn't. The ones that didn't are going to be high seeds, obviously, in the NIT. So look forward to that bracket being revealed, Tuesday night, seeing what matchups you get. But congratulations to all those bubble teams that were able to hear their names come off the board and celebrate with their teams and get excited for March Madness. You guys are all going dancing. So let's move into the conference breakdown. I just want to kind of give everyone an idea of which conferences had multiple bids in this bracket. And this is crazy. Out of 32 conferences in the country, 15 of them had multiple bids. So a lot of those mid and low major conferences got multiple bids, which is really fun to see. Congratulations to those conferences. We'll get into those in just a second. But we're going to start at the top in terms of who had the most bids from each conference. So with that being the case, we're going to start with the Pac-12. They had 6 teams. They had Arizona, a 1 seed, Utah, a 2 seed, Washington, a 3 seed, UCLA, a 7 seed, Oregon, an 8 seed, and California, a 12 seed. Really strong year for the Pac-12, a 1, 2, and 3 seed in Washington, Utah, and Arizona. Those are 3 really strong teams, all honestly national title contenders. So really strong year from the Pac-12. Moving on, we've got the Big Ten had 5 teams. They had 1 seeded Michigan State, overall 1 seeded Michigan State, 3 seeded Michigan, 4 seed Rutgers, 6 seed Wisconsin, and 9 seed Purdue. Honestly, it's a little disappointing from the Big Ten. I know there were at least 10 teams that had a chance to be on the bubble or to get into the tournament preseason. So this is, to only get 5 is a little disappointing, but it kind of just goes to show you how difficult it is to win enough in the Big Ten with all those tough games to ultimately get yourself into the tournament. So only 5 teams, again, a little disappointing, but obviously that also, Minnesota is one of the strongest teams in that conference this year, and they received a postseason ban. So that's another team that most likely, well, they definitely would have been in the tournament. They would have been a really high seed as well. So disappointing for the Big Ten. They do get 5 teams. Moving on to the ACC, they also had 5 teams. They had a 1 seed North Carolina, 3 seed Louisville, 5 seed Duke, 9 seed Pittsburgh, and 11 seed Georgia Tech. Again, strong year from the ACC, but a little disappointing. Five teams is solid. They would like to get 6 or 7 in a typical year, or in a good year, I guess. Moving into the SEC, they got four teams, 2 seed South Carolina, 3 seed Mississippi, 4 seed Texas A&M, and 5 seed Kentucky. So four really strong teams from the SEC, but all in the top 5 seeds. But again, not as many teams as they would have liked to have gotten, obviously. Moving into the Atlantic 10, you've got four teams. You've got 5-seeded St. Joseph's, 7-seed VCU, 7-seed George Mason, and 11-seed St. Louis. So really, really strong year from the Atlantic 10. They're happy to get four teams, of course. That's a really strong showing from the Atlantic 10. Moving to the Big East, the Big East also got four teams, 1-seed Butler, 5-seed Villanova, 6-seed Creighton, and 6-seed Seton Hall. So four teams all with top 6 seeds. Strong year at the top for the Big East as well. And then from the MAC, also four teams, 9-seed Western Michigan, 9-seed Eastern Michigan, 12-seed Kent State, and 13-seed Miami of Ohio. So, you get three at-large bids, four total, Western Michigan earning the auto bid and getting a 9-seed, but four teams from the MAC. That conference has really come a long way. It's a really tough conference now. And for them to get 12 teams – or four teams, sorry. Four teams is really – really impressive. As you might guess, moving to the next conference, which is the Big 12, they only got three teams this year. 2-seed Kansas State, 10-seed West Virginia, 13-seed Texas. So there's no Kansas. Kansas is a prestige one team. There's no Kansas in this bracket. Texas only got in likely because they won their conference tournament. So the Big 12 was really staring down the barrel of a two-bid league this year. And even West Virginia being the second was a 10 seed. So really weak year from the Big 12. But I expect Kansas to bounce back in a hurry. They have a really strong recruiting class and a really good head coach. So, definitely expect them to rebound quickly. But Oklahoma State is another really strong team that received a ban this year. So they're another team that would have had a chance to get into the tournament. I would expect them to be a team that is on the rise going into next season as well. Moving into the American Conference, they got three teams as well, 4-seed Connecticut, 12-seed Cincinnati, and 14-seed Temple. Temple earned the automatic bid winning that conference tournament, so it kind of enabled the conference to get three teams. So congratulations to the American Conference, obviously led by Connecticut. That's a strong 4-seed for Connecticut. Moving to the SoCon, three bids from the SoCon. UNC Greensboro gets a 7-seed after they earn the auto bid. And then two bubble teams, Wofford and VMI, getting 11 and 12 seeds respectively. So great, great for the SoCon. Again, this is another conference that's just been consistently on the rise. Really, really strong mid-major conference that continues to get better. And they get three bids this year. And then rounding it out with the conferences that got two bids, the Horizon League, Detroit won the conference tournament. They get a 13-seed. Wright State gets the 2-seed. They ran the table for the entire regular season. And then they lose, I believe, in the semifinals in their conference tournament. But happy for the Horizon to get two bids. I'm sure Wright State will be okay with it getting the 2-bid Horizon, and they still earn their 2-seed. Moving to the American East, Stony Brook gets a 12-seed. They were a bubble team. They get the at-large after Vermont won the conference tournament, earning a 16-seed. For the American East, so two teams. Congrats there. Missouri Valley also gets two teams, 10-seed Valparaiso, 11-seed Illinois State. Valpo got the at-large bid. Illinois State won the conference tournament and get the automatic qualifier. Moving to the Mountain West, they also got two teams, 8-seed UNLV earned the auto bid, and then 10-seed Boise State got an at-large bid. And then finally, the Ohio Valley. Southeast Missouri State gets the 12-seed, earning the at-large bid. They were sweating it out, but they did hear their name called early, so that was good for them. And then, obviously, Morehead State, as we mentioned early in the show, they earned the 15-seed. They won their conference tournament, so they earned a bid. And OVC gets two teams. So, like I said, 15 conferences getting multiple bids. The bracket is much more evenly distributed between power and mid-major and low-major teams, as it more so than it normally is. The Pac-12 got six teams, but no other conference got more than five. The SEC only got four. The Big 12 only got three, and then in terms of mid majors, Atlantic 10 got four, MAC got four, American got three, SoCon got three. Like that's really impressive. Pretty even distribution. So this is a really fun bracket. I can't wait to watch it unfold. I think there's definitely a number of mid major teams that could make strong pushes in this bracket. We'll get into that in a second. But this bracket's fun from that perspective. So let's move into the kind of region breakdown now. And so we're going to start with the Midwest region, which is the region led by Michigan State, the overall number one seed. So what I'm going to do here in this breakdown is kind of just touch on some of the more interesting matchups again. But I also want to touch on seeds in each region where they have the toughest seed and then the weakest seed in terms of strength of roster. So what I mean by that is the Midwest region has the toughest six seed of all the regions. They have Creighton, who's a 12th in strength of roster, which is better than any other six seed in the bracket. That's the best six seed in the bracket goes in the Midwest. And then they also have the best 14 seed at 48th in strength of roster, which is significantly better than any of the other 14 seeds. The strength of rosters of the other 14 seeds are 105, 97, and 111 respectively. So toughest 14 seed, toughest six seed. And then the weakest seeds in this conference, the eight seed, UC Davis is the weakest eight seed in the bracket. The nine seed Eastern Michigan, the weakest nine seed in the whole bracket. Same for the 11 seed Illinois State and 12 seed play-in Stony Brook. And then same for 16 seed play-in Cal Baptist. So this bracket is favorable for, the higher seeds in that there are a lot of weak seeds, but it's really even at the top. If you look at the top of the bracket, you've got Michigan State with a strength of roster of three at the one seed, Utah with strength of roster of six at two, the three is Louisville, strength of roster at 10, four is Texas A&M, strength of roster at nine, five is St. Joe's, strength of roster at 13, six is Creighton at 12. So, they have their top six seeds are all in the top 13 in strength of roster. So while the lower half of the bracket is not the strongest, those top six seeds are most likely all going to advance based on that. But once they get to the second round, it's going to be incredible. The 3-6 matchup, like I touched on, Louisville versus Creighton potentially would be a 10 versus 12 in strength of roster. The 4-5 matchup, Texas A&M versus St. Joe's, would be 9 versus 13. And then, if we get that far, Michigan State and Utah, 3-6. I mean, this is just really tough at the top. In terms of who I would predict to come out of this region, it's really just drawing out of a hat for those top six seeds. I don't know how else I would recommend doing it. They're just so evenly matched across the board. Again, slight favorite to Michigan State, but I don't think you can go wrong picking any of those top six teams. It's just so even and so tough at the top of that region. It's by far the toughest. If you're going to average out the top six seeds in strength of roster, that the Midwest region is by far the toughest. So that's kind of one way to look at this region. Moving to the East region, that's headlined by Butler as the one seed. They are the worst one seed in the bracket, and then Princeton is the worst 15 seed in the bracket. But then UConn is the best four seed in the bracket, and they reside in the East. And Valparaiso is the best 10 seed in the entire bracket. They also reside in the East. The interesting things about this bracket, you've got the best teams in terms of strength of record or strength of roster is UConn, and they are the four seed. They are eighth in the country in strength of roster. Butler, South Carolina, Michigan are 1, 2, and 3 seed, but they're 11, 14, and 18 in strength of roster. So a lot weaker at the top of this region. Connecticut might be the favorite to get out of this region, actually, which is just incredible. But Duke at the 5 seed is 16th in strength of roster, so they're tough as well. Gonzaga is the 6 seed, 24th. And then, it's 7 seed UCLA is 34th, 8 seed Oregon is 38th, 9 seed Western Michigan is 43rd, 10 seed Valparaiso is 46th, and 11 seed St. Louis is 46. Sorry, Valpo is 41st. St. Louis is 46. So each of the top 11 seeds in the East region are in the top 46 in strength of roster. And so, you know, in the Midwest, I said basically pick out of a hat for the top, any of the top six seeds. I think in this region, you know, UConn might actually be the favorite, but you could definitely make a case that any of those 11, top 11 seeds could make a run just based on how even it is. You know, it's just going to be really tough because those bottom teams, you know, 7 through 11 in this region, the bottom of the top 11, I mean, are also good. And the top teams, you know, 1 through 4 are just not as tough as you typically would see. So those are much more even matchups than they typically would be that you'll see in the second or third rounds. And so there could be a lot of upsets. So this is a region where, you know, if you're a mid-major team and you want to put on your dancing shoes and make a deep run as a Cinderella, your 9 seed Western Michigan, your 10 seed Valparaiso, your 11 seed St. Louis, you know, I'll even throw 12 seed VMI into that bucket. And 13 seed Texas is 56. So, I mean, that's another strong team. But if you're any of those teams, you have a pretty solid chance to make a decent tournament run, maybe a Sweet 16. Who knows, maybe even an Elite Eight run. So if you're looking for a Cinderella and you want to predict a Cinderella team, I think the East region is where you want to go and pick from. Like I said, Western Michigan, Valparaiso, St. Louis, those would be the three teams I would start with and go from there. But I think, yeah, I think that's going to be a really fun region to see play out. The South region, again, this one's headlined by North Carolina. And this region is they've got five teams that are the best at their seed level, and they have four teams that are the worst at their seed level. So their 2 and 3 seeds are the best at their seed level, Kansas State and Washington, 2 and 5 in strength of roster. Their 7 seed is the best at their seed level, VCU, who has got the 19th strength of roster, so better than any other 7 seed in the bracket. Same for their 12 seed Cincinnati at 30 strength of roster, and their 15 seed New Orleans at 94 strength of roster. And then in terms of the teams that are the worst at their seed line in the South region, 5 seed Kentucky is 25th, worse than any other 5 seed. 6 seed Seton Hall is 26th, worse than any other 6 seed. So really weak 5 seed in Kentucky, weak 6 seed in Seton Hall. And then 10 seed Boise State is the worst 10 seed at 71 strength of roster, and 13 seed South Dakota is the worst 13 seed at 110. And in fact, the 14 and 15 seeds in this region are both better than 13 seed South Dakota, Grambling State, and New Orleans. So, but this region, you know, look, starting at the top, you've got three teams in the top five in strength of roster in the country, in this region: North Carolina, Kansas State, and Washington at 4, 2, and 5 in strength of roster. So that those three teams would probably be, you know, your heavy favorites to win the region. And again, you can just pick out of a hat out of those three teams. I don't think you can go wrong picking any of those three. You know, the 4 seed is Monmouth. You know, I would love to see Monmouth make a deep run. They had a really strong season. I believe they finished the season 29-2. They finished perfect in the MAAC, going 16-0 and then 3-0 in their conference tournament, earning a 4 seed. Really great seed for them. They get to play South Dakota in the first round, a really easy matchup. And then potentially they get the worst 5 seed in the bracket in Kentucky in the second round. So a favorable matchup for them there. So it looks like they've got a great path to get to number 1 seed North Carolina in the region. But and then if you know, if they get there, who knows what'll happen. On the other side of the bracket, I'm definitely looking for Kansas State and Washington to meet up in the Sweet 16. Like I said, the 2 and 3 seeds just head and shoulders above kind of the other teams in that side of the region. Seton Hall is a weak 6 seed, although VCU as a 7 seed is really strong. They're 19th, like I said, in the country in strength roster. So it's a really, really strong 7 seed. But again, Kansas State, Washington, kind of head and shoulders above. I would really expect those two teams to get to the Sweet 16, and then the winner will play, likely the winner of North Carolina and Monmouth. But North Carolina is going to have to get through Lafayette and Purdue. Those are two very tough teams, very solid teams. Lafayette's got more experience. They've had a really good run in the Patriot the last couple of years. And then Purdue out of the Big Ten, like I said, they always have success in the tournament, it seems like. And then I'm looking forward, like I've said before, I'm looking forward to the 6 versus 11 seed matchup, Seton Hall versus Wofford, 26 versus 49 in strength of roster. That should be a fun one. Wofford was on the bubble, but I think they have a really legitimate chance to win that game. And then, like I said, Kent State versus Cincinnati is that play-in matchup to get to the 5 seed Kentucky. And, it seems for a play-in matchup at a 12 seed, it's pretty heavily tilted towards Cincinnati with their strength of roster being 30 versus Kent State 74. But Kentucky's looking for the minor upset there. They want Kent State to win that game. Okay, so moving to our final region, the West region. Like I mentioned, it's headlined by Arizona. And so this region has 7 teams that are the best at its seed line and 5 teams that are the worst at its seed line. So it's a really interesting region in that way. It's got a ton of really good teams for their seed level and a lot of really bad teams at their seed level. So starting with the teams that are the best at their seed level, you have Arizona. It's the best one seed in terms of strength of roster, the best team in the country. You've got 5-seeded Villanova is the best 5-seed, 7th in the country in strength of roster. 8-seed and 9-seed are also the best at their seed level. UNLV and Pittsburgh, respectively, 33 and 22 in strength of roster. So the Pittsburgh as a 9-seed is actually better than any of the 8 seeds. So kind of a tough draw or a bad draw for them in seed, but they're in a tough conference. They lost a lot of tough games this year. So they're happy to get in, and they'll get a chance potentially at Arizona in the second round. And then Georgia Tech, again, out of the ACC, is the toughest 11 seed in the bracket at 27th in strength of roster. 13 seed Miami of Ohio is the toughest 13 seed at a 53 strength of roster, and 16 seed Coppin State is the best 16 seed at 78th in strength of roster. And then looking at the worst teams at their seed line. Two through four, two, three, and four, Wright State, Mississippi, and Rutgers are all the worst at their seed line at 17, 21, and 28 in strength of roster. 7-seed George Mason is the worst at or 7-seed at 37, and 14-seed Wagner is the worst 14-seed at 111. Just looking at that, when I say, Arizona is the toughest one seed, they've got the best team in SIM history. And then two, three, and four are the worst at their seed line. It sounds like it's a really favorable bracket for Arizona. But then if you look at it just a little bit deeper, you see that their Sweet 16 matchup would likely be against 5-seeded Villanova, who is the 7th ranked team in the country in roster strength. So, that'd be a tough matchup in the Sweet 16 for Arizona. But I still like them as the favorites, obviously. Best team in the Sims history, 5-year history. That makes it tough. Wisconsin's a tough 6 seed at 20. We talked about them. And then the 8-9 seeds, they're both the toughest at their level. So Arizona has, they have that their first round matchup is the toughest 16 seed against Coppin State. Their second round matchup is going to be against either the best 8 seed or the best 9 seed, UNLV or Pittsburgh. Their third round matchup will be likely against Villanova, who's the best 5 seed, and then they get to play, potentially an easier matchup against for the seed line, of course, against Wright State or Mississippi or whoever comes out of the lower half of that region. But yeah, it's kind of interesting. Arizona, obviously, they're the 4th one seed, so they in that respect. Or sorry, they weren't. They were the third. They were the third one seed. So Butler was the 4th one seed. But so Arizona, they got kind of a tough draw in terms of what their first three matchups could look like. compared to what the other one seeds got. But they're just, so much better than every other team in the region that I really don't think it should matter all that much. I don't really see them losing, definitely not in the first two rounds, at least I would be very surprised. But then Villanova, that could be a pretty fun even matchup in the Sweet 16 if we get that matchup. So yeah, I mean, kind of, continuing to look, like I said, those 8-9 matchups, that's fun. Old Dominion's a good solid 10 seed, 63rd in the country, but California is a 12 seed, really tough, 30-31 in strength of roster. That, like I said, they get that 5-12 matchup against Villanova, and then 13 seed Miami Ohio is really tough. They get an easier matchup relative to the other four 13 matchups. They get Rutgers, who's the worst 4 seed. Miami Ohio is the best 13 seed. So 28 versus 53 there. So this will be a fun region as well. Interesting in the way I just dissected it, I guess, in terms of how Arizona's path is a little tougher. But, all of these regions kind of unique in their own way. And I'm really, really looking forward to seeing this bracket play out. Like I said, it's pretty even in terms of power conferences, mid-major, low-major disparity, how many teams came from each conference, 15 conferences getting 2 bids. The region's all kind of unique, a lot of fun matchups. I think this has the makings of a bracket that just has a lot of upsets, a lot of mid-major teams making runs. And so with that being said, we are going to move into the final portion of this bracket reveal episode, which is the Final Four and champion predictions from myself and from Matt Evans, the head coach of South Dakota State. And so I'll start with Matt Evans. Matt Evans, his Final Four team out of the Midwest region, he has number 1 seed Michigan State, and he has them facing off versus the winner of the East region, 1 seed Butler. In the South, he has 1 seeded North Carolina taking on 2 seeded Wright State in the West. So he's staying strong with his mid-major prediction of Wright State making the Final Four, and then as a 2 seed, and then he's got, that was his preseason Final Four prediction, was Wright State in terms of a mid-major, but they are the one non-1 seed, I guess, that got a pick from Matt for a Final Four. So he went 1 seed Michigan State, 1 seed Butler, 1 seed North Carolina, and 2 seed Wright State. So the one seed he didn't go with was Arizona, which is, like I said, the best team in the sim. So very bold prediction there from Matt. I don't blame him for sticking to his guns from his preseason prediction. It's very interesting there. And then his champion, he took 1 seed Michigan State over 1 seeded North Carolina in the championship there. So those are two teams that have already won sim championships. And he's got Michigan State topping North Carolina. And then my Final Four predictions, from the Midwest region, I went with 5 seeded St. Joseph's. And like I said, this is the region where I felt like 1 through 6, you could basically pick out of a hat. And, they were all ranked between 3 and 13 in strength of roster. And like Matt, I think did the same thing, but I'm going to stick with St. Joe's as my mid-major Final Four pick from the preseason. So that's really the only reason I picked them out of that 6-team hat. From the Midwest region as a 5 seed. And then I have them taking on 4 seeded UConn from the East. So 5 versus 4, like I said, from the East, UConn is actually the best team in terms of roster strength. So I'm going to go with the best team. I'm going to take, it seems a little chalky in that way, but it's a lower seed. So 4 seed UConn, disappointing season. I think they have a strong tournament run and they make it to the Final Four. And then I have, from the South, I have North Carolina. And then that one, I felt like you could pick out of the top 3. You could pick North Carolina, Kansas State, Washington, just pick out of a hat. And so the reason I picked North Carolina is because they're only going to have to play 1 game against, those other 2 teams. They're only going to have to play either Kansas State or Washington at the most, whereas Kansas State or Washington is likely going to have to play the other matchup there, Kansas State or Washington, and then they will also have to play North Carolina. So rather than picking a team to win two of those games, I'm just going to pick North Carolina to win one and make it to the Final Four. And then Arizona is the other one seed I went with to finish out my Final Four from the West region. I just, like I said, their road is a little tougher the first three region or first three rounds, but I just think they're just so good. They have, five players that are better than any of the players that Michigan State has on their roster. So it's just such a loaded team. And so with that being said, I'm going to take Arizona over four-seeded UConn in the championship. That is my champion prediction. So again, Matt has Michigan State over North Carolina. I have Arizona over Connecticut. So it'll be interesting to see how this plays out. Again, as always, this is a really interesting bracket. I always really enjoy watching these brackets play out. And I think, we mentioned the preseason. I think one of these years there is going to be a mid-major team that makes a big run. I'm not sure if we've had one that's made it past the Sweet 16 yet. And so I think this is the year that we get one into the Elite Eight or maybe even the Final Four. And yeah, I just can't wait to see that happen. I think there's really the potential for a big Cinderella run from somebody in this bracket. So that's gonna conclude our episode. I wanted to again shout out Matt Evans for getting his bracketology to me, within an hour after I sent him this conference tournament results. So thank you to Matt. Thanks for helping me out in that way. And then thank you guys for listening. Good luck to all the teams that heard their names called that are going to be in this bracket. I'm hoping to be in this bracket next year with Liberty, but for all you guys who are especially mid-majors, I'm rooting for all you guys. But it'll be fun to see this one play out. I'm really just rooting for a new champion, someone that hasn't won the championship yet. I know I picked Arizona, who already has won, but I'm rooting for, a result other than someone that's already won it. So congratulations to all those teams. For all those teams that didn't hear their names called that are on the bubble, I'm sure you'll be in the NIT. So good luck to you in that tournament as well. The NIT is always a really fun bracket as well. There's a lot of upsets that happen in that bracket. So I'm curious to see when that kind of translates over to March Madness. So, like I said, this might be that year. But so thanks for listening. Good luck to all you teams. Like I said, like I always end podcasts with, if you have any comments or questions or there's anything you want to hear about or any topics that you think I should cover, or if you want to be on the show or anything like that, feel free to keep reaching out to me. I just want to keep making this interactive. I know this was a solo podcast. It's just the way it kind of worked out, unfortunately. I prefer to have people on the episodes with me. I feel like it makes it a little bit more enjoyable for you guys. I like to get people involved. But yeah, so just keep reaching out to me and letting me know. And I think that's all I have. I'm not sure if I'll have an episode between now and the season six preview. There's definitely the potential that I could, but if I don't see you until season six, looking forward to that season as well. Maybe Liberty will find their way into the bracket for the first time. Looking forward to that. But yeah, so until next time, I will see you guys later. See you later.